Lisa, so many experts have said to me after other killings along this line over the years, there are these warning signs, but a lot of folks, family members, friends, they don't pay attention to them.
Well, you know, that's not entirely fair. I'll tell you why. I've been doing this business for 25 years. There are plenty of families who are distraught, who have members of their family, their children, that they know are dangerous, and they live with this anguish of not being able to do anything for them for weeks and months and years. The reality is that we really don't have the legislation that allows the people in authority, either doctors or the officials, other officials, to do what must be done until the person has committed a crime, and that's when they come to their attention. So it's just not entirely true that people are in denial.
What are the warning signs that people should be looking at for someone who might go out and start killing kids?
There are plenty of families who do respond to the warning signs, and they will call the authorities.
What are the warning signs?
They will see that their child is angry, isolated, clearly, potentially responding to auditory hallucinations. They hear voices, maybe a fascination with guns. Maybe they're at a shooting range. They know something's wrong. Well, you can't call the police and say, my son's acting weird. Come and get him. He needs help. They don't have any justification for doing that. So there is, in most jurisdictions, it's almost impossible until you have actually committed a crime to intervene in a way that can protect our society. That's what has to be changed, is the legislation, so we can act before a crime.
Sanjay, you study the brain all the time. Are there chemical imbalances here? Are there chemical problems that could create a killer like this?
I think so, Wolf, and I think, you know, I agree with your guest as well that, you know, I mean, look, these things, they used to be sort of in the realm of the anecdotal. You know, now there's objective evidence of what we can see happening, certainly in the brain. There may be people who are more predisposed or set up for it, and then something pushes them over the edge. It's unclear, obviously, in most of these situations. But, you know, I think that to think of mental illness as a real disease, and when you start thinking about it like that, it changes everyone's perspective. You think about it more like you would think of someone who has heart problems, again, or cancer or diabetes. It changes everyone's perspective, again, in terms of how you potentially think about it within your own family, potentially getting it diagnosed and treated. Again, I agree with your guest that it's hard to do sometimes. We're not talking about, you know, having somebody show up and take a family member away. We're talking about someone, you know, being able to talk about it openly, make sure that they have the resources that they can go see somebody. It's not easy. It's not even available for many people around the country, Wolf.
And if no one, Lisa, has committed a crime yet, but there are these signs out there. There are letters, I want to go out there and kill people, and they're going to practice ranges. Is it usually an indication of a psychiatric problem that can be treated, for example, with medicine?
Well, sure, if you can get them to take the medicine. But usually when you have a person that's like that, they won't acknowledge that there's anything wrong. Try getting them into treatment. Try getting them to take that pill. They won't do it. That's not everybody. Not everybody's out there doing this. But for those who do, it's because they have most likely refused treatment. I'll bet you anything that most of the people that we're talking about, and the person we're talking about today, was clearly to his family a danger, and they just didn't know what to do, and they didn't have the legislation, and that's the problem, to back them up so that we could take action. Now, I'll just add this. A number of decades ago, we were very fearful that people would be thrown into a hospital just because they were different. We wanted to protect them, so we enacted all sorts of laws to protect people. We've gone too far in that direction. Now we have to face the reality and acknowledge that we have to step up our work getting people into treatment when they need it, and letting doctors make those decisions, not just lawyers and judges.